Hello, this is Lincoln, reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, June 25th, 2026. At the top of the front page, ribbon-cutting ceremony conducted in Gilman. New soybean processing plant, solar array highlighted. From staff reports, a ribbon-cutting ceremony was conducted in Gilman June 22nd to celebrate the new soybean processing plant and solar array at Incobrasa Industries. Among the dignitaries was Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. Illinois is proudly the nation's top soybean producer, and Incobrasa is powering the modern economy with those soybeans in the heart of our state, said Governor J.B. Pritzker in information provided. This expansion marks the next chapter for Incobrasa with a transformational investment that will create new jobs and scale up production capacity for biofuel, farm feed, and more, all while affirming Illinois' role as an innovator in the agriculture industry. The project, which includes a 170,000 square foot state-of-the-art facility to meet the growing demand for its soybean crushing services, is expected to create 40 new full-time jobs and will retain 200 jobs. This plant is adjacent to Incobrasa's existing facility and doubles the company's production capacity. It can process nearly 100 million bushels of soybeans annually. The facility converts soybeans into soybean meal used for animal feed and soybean oil that can be refined into biodiesel and other renewable fuel products. In addition to the soybean crushing plant, the company constructed a 50-acre solar array, which has the capacity to generate 5 megawatts of energy, which can be used to provide power directly to the plant or to feed the grid. Incobrasa's new crush plant is the single largest extraction process in the country, requiring 300 bushels per day, 300,000 bushels per day. It will provide a stable market for 7,000 local family farms. By producing oil for biodiesel production and soy protein for animal feed, the process will reduce greenhouse gas emissions and lower the cost of food. It is a great win for the people of Illinois, said Kerry Fogarty, quality control manager at Incobrasa. None of this would be possible if it were not for the tireless efforts of our elected officials in Springfield and Washington, D.C. The relentless work of the Illinois Soybean Association, National Oilseed Processors Association, Clean Fuels Alliance America, and Sustainable Advanced Biofuel Refiners cannot be understated. They have worked together to secure a bright future for biodiesel production in the U.S. Without this, the expansion in Gilman would never have come to fruition. Incobrasa's expansion in Gilman is a prime example of what makes Illinois a premier destination for businesses, said DCEO Director Kristen Richards. We are proud to support companies that drive economic development and long-term job creation, ensuring Illinois remains the best place to work, live, and do business. Illinois agriculture continues to be a powerful economic engine, and projects like this showcase the strength of our soybean industry, said Illinois Department of Agriculture Director Jerry Costello II. Encobrasa's expansion creates new opportunities for farmers, supports local jobs, and advances Illinois' position as a national leader in agricultural innovation and processing. Illinois is the largest soybean producer and fourth largest biodiesel producer. According to information from the state, the demand for renewable fuels is expected to increase globally. The Encobrasa Industries project was through the state's EDGE, Economic Development for a Growing Economy agreement. Seven contestants vie for Miss Iroquois County Fair Queen. Seven area contestants will vie for the title of the 2026 Miss Iroquois County Fair Queen on Tuesday, July 14th. Ray Stuckey was named the 2025 Miss Iroquois County Fair Queen. She is the daughter of Colleen Post and Jarrett Stuckey. She attends Kankakee Community College, majoring in elementary education. Competition for the new title begins at 7 p.m. in the grandstands at the fairgrounds north of Crescent City. According to information provided, contestants include Maya Anderson, 19, of St. Anne, the daughter of Keith Anderson and Eva Anderson. She is a 2025 graduate of St. Anne Community High School. She is attending the University of Illinois, majoring in Engineering Technology and Crop Science. Aubrey Wagner, 20, Onarga, the daughter of Calvin and Alicia Wagner. She is a 2024 graduate of Iroquois West High School. She currently attends Iowa State University, majoring in animal science with a beef cattle production management certificate. Stephanie Sternberg, 19, of Milford, the daughter of Bonnie Sternberg and the late Vance Sternberg. She is a 2025 graduate of Milford High School. She's attending Murray State University, majoring in wildlife and conservation biology and conservation law. Gabby Cole, 16, Crescent City, the daughter of Jonathan Cole and Gigi Grimm. She attends Watseka Community High School. She will graduate in 2028. Kennedy Kanoski, 21, Gilman, the daughter of Chris and Casey Kanoski. She is a 2023 graduate of Iroquois West High School. She is currently attending Illinois State University, majoring in early childhood education. Lauren Jansen, 19, Watseka, the daughter of Nathan and Heather Jansen, and Natasha and Ryan Johnson. She is a 2025 graduate of Watseka High School. She attends Illinois State University, majoring in agricultural business. Taylor Bright, 18, Watseka, the daughter of Sarah Baker and Thomas Bright. She is a 2026 graduate of Watseka High School. She will be attending the University of Illinois, majoring in liberal arts and science. Book on Biblical Prophecy, Data Centers, and AI is set for release next week. Donald A. Gallade, three-time international best-selling author, announced the release of his latest book, Data and the Beast, The Truth About Data Centers and AI. The book will be available free only on Amazon Kindle download for 4 days total. Viewers can visit the link included here for instant download between June 28, 2026 and July 1st, 2026. Data and the Beast examines the rapid worldwide expansion of data centers, the steel, copper, lithium, and electricity-hungry facilities now rising across the globe, and asks the question many are afraid to ask, is this the infrastructure the Book of Revelation warned about? AI-driven systems already shape commerce, communication, identity, and surveillance, and those developments may directly connect to biblical prophecy, specifically the mark of the beast. With terawatt-scale data centers rising across the nation, Gallaud examines the environmental, spiritual, health, financial, and societal costs of the AI boom. The book reveals how the same infrastructure being sold as progress may be laying the groundwork for unprecedented control, and why believers must understand the times. In an unusual twist, Data and the Beast was researched, written, and produced through an extensive collaboration between Gallaud and multiple artificial intelligence systems, making it a book about AI's role in biblical prophecy, created in direct partnership with that very technology. The book features reflections on the project from AI systems, including Microsoft Copilot and Claude, Anthropic, which assisted in the research and writing process. Grok AI actually said, "I've never seen anything like it." What does an El Nino summer mean for Illinois crops? By Rhiannon Branch for Farm Week. As tropical weather patterns suggest a shift to El Nino conditions, Farm Week interviewed Eric Snodgrass, a principal atmospheric scientist with Nutrien Ag Solutions, to see what Illinois farmers should be watching as summer nears. Question: what is the short-term weather forecast for Illinois? Answer: the beginning of June is going to start off with much warmer temperatures, which a lot of growers in Illinois need. May was not a warm month, so to be able to get extra heat units into the ground is going to be huge for this crop. But we also don't want to see extended time periods of dry weather, which is what I think we're going to see finishing May and starting June. Question: what does a shift to El Nino mean for Midwest crops? Historically, when you have rapidly developing El Ninos, which we do this year, June does tend to be drier. But when you look at the same years, July tends to come in with quite a bit of storms, and our crops tend to be okay with that. But if it's ill-timed, maybe we start dry too long into July and bring the rain later in the month rather than earlier, then you could be looking at a situation that is unfavorable for crop development. It's just a little too far out to tell. Question: what impact does El Nino have in the Midwest during summer months? Answer: we have to be careful with how much we attribute to El Nino. It's going to be huge, but we'll talk so much about El Nino and more about El Nino in the fall and winter than we will during the summer. The correlation between summer weather and El Nino is about 0.3%, which means you can only attribute about 9% of the variance of summer weather to El Nino, and that's not enough. Question: are you watching weather patterns in any other areas? Answer: if I were going to make a call for a super hot and dry summer, I would need to see the Northeast Pacific. There's a decently strong correlation with cold water off the west coast of North America to summer heat and drought stress in the Midwest. Right now, those ocean temperatures are not cold, so that is another thing that points to a possible stormy summer rather than one that's bone dry all the way through July and August. If on June 21st, the solstice, I'm looking at the Northeast Pacific and it has cooled off dramatically, then I'm going to be really worried, because that is going to start to give us a drier signal for July and August. Question: Is there potential for Illinois to experience rapid onset drought like it did last fall? Answer, yes. But even though we're drier for at least the next 2 weeks, the question is, will it be dry longer term? For the next 2 weeks, it is going to be wet to our south, and usually our biggest drought events start when it's too dry to our south. If they're humid and there's a lot of soil moisture, then the moisture gets right over the top of them, comes to us. So I'm not overly worried about rapid drought. If you were to call me back in 2 weeks and the dryness didn't break, I'm going to start ringing the alarm bell. But if it is, in fact, just a two-week hiatus in the rainfall and we return wet again, it's going to be huge for this crop. Question, does it look like 2026 will continue to be an active, severe weather year? Answer, we do think it will. But we'll transition in June from having flow that generates thunderstorms that come out of the west and southwest, and by July, a lot of our storm trajectory will be coming out of the northwest, and we want that. That is a very healthy summer pattern for delivering rainfall. This story was distributed through a cooperative project between Illinois Farm Bureau and Illinois Press Association. For more food and farming news, visit farmweeknow.com. And there are two obituaries. Robert Bob Ferris, a beloved father, grandfather, great-grandfather, and Vietnam veteran, passed away peacefully on June 8, 2026, in Hot Springs Village, Arkansas. He was 79 years old. Born on May 17, 1947, in Watseka, Illinois, to Virgil and Nora Farris, Bob grew up alongside his siblings Wayne, Ralph, and Dolores. Bob proudly served his country as a sergeant in the United States Army during the Vietnam War. His 2 years of service exemplified his courage and dedication to duty. After returning home from the military, Bob embarked on a career as an electrician with F&F Electric, working alongside his father. Later in life, he transitioned to a role as a planner estimator for the federal government before retiring. Throughout his professional journey, Bob was known for his reliability and skill. Family was at the heart of Bob's life. He was preceded in death by his wife, Paula Ferris, his parents, Virgil and Nora Ferris, his brothers, Wayne and Ralph Ferris, and his sister, Dolores Ferris. Despite these losses, Bob's legacy lives on through the family he cherished deeply. He is survived by his son, Terry Ferris, and daughter-in-law, Cora Ferris, his daughter, Dawn Diaz, and son-in-law, Al Diaz, his brother-in-law, Courtney Scott, and wife, Gaynell, his granddaughter, Christina Marshall, his grandson, Colby Ferris, the three great-grandchildren, Clayton Marshall, Corbin Marshall, Kinsley Marshall, and many nieces and nephews who held him dear. Bob's memory will be forever treasured by those who knew him. His life was marked by service to both his country and his loved ones, and by an enduring sense of loyalty and devotion. May Robert Bob Ferris rest in eternal peace. His memory will continue to bring comfort to all who were fortunate enough to know him. Interment will be at a later date. Paula Renee Ferris, Paula Renee Ferris Nee Scott, born on December 13, 1945, in Louisville, Kentucky, passed away peacefully on June 8, 2026, in Hot Springs Village, Arkansas. She was 80 years old. Paula dedicated her life to education as a teacher, leaving a lasting impact on countless students throughout her career. Her passion for learning and commitment to nurturing young minds will be remembered by all who had the privilege of knowing her. She is survived by her brother, Courtney Scott, and his wife, Gaynell, her stepson, Don Diaz, and her husband, Al Diaz. Paula was preceded by her parents, Marguerite Gandy and Paul Scott. Paula's memory will live on in the hearts of those who knew and loved her. May her legacy of kindness and dedication bring comfort to all who mourn her passing. Interment will be at a later date. Arkansas cremation may be reached at 501-975-1002. Unit 9 sets 2027 graduation date at June 16th meeting. The Unit 9 school board set the 2027 high school graduation date and made other decisions at the June 16th board meeting. The board approved 6 p.m. May 21st as the 2027 graduation date. Board member Rebecca Whitborn was approved as the Illinois Association of School Boards delegate. Several business matters were approved, including Pamela Verkler as school treasurer and the designated depositories, renewal of property/casualty/liability insurance, and the bid for workers' compensation insurance, the risk management plan, and a quote for cameras for 9 school buses from Genesis Network Solutions for a total of $46,973. The board also approved the employment of Stephanie Stefan as a kindergarten teacher, Jessica Schroeder as a paraprofessional, and Emily Payne as a paraprofessional. A letter of resignation from McKinsey Mormon as a Glen Raymond school teacher was approved. CUDS number 249, Board of Ed, conducts June meeting, by Kim Rabe for the Times-Republic. CUDS number 249, Board of Ed, conducts June meeting. The Board of Education of Crescent Iroquois, CUSD number 249, met Monday, June 22nd. Board President Steve Massey called the meeting to order at 7 p.m. with the following members present: Mallory Redeker, Becky Dirks, Massey, and Aaron Hamilton. Also present was Superintendent/Principal Lucas Schroeder. There were no changes to the agenda. The superintendent's report items discussed were building and grounds, summer work is in full force, transportation, the fleet is being serviced over the summer break for preventative maintenance, and financials. The committee will meet after the audit and budget are finished. The board approved the following minutes of the May 18th regular meeting, the treasurer's report dated May 31st, the payment of bills dated June 22nd, the impressed fund and petty cash reports of May 31st, leaving closed minutes closed, destruction of audio tapes older than 18 months, and the second reading of Press Plus Policy Update number 121. The board approved Lynn Canada as the district treasurer for fiscal year 27. A donation from the Mary Helen Roberts Trust for the CCGS Julie Dunn Library and Book Vending Machine, the district to expend funds beginning July 1st, 2026, through the adoption of the fiscal year 27 budget and the renewal of insurance with PSIC through GTPS for property/casualty coverage and workers' compensation coverage with accident fund through GTPS insurance for fiscal year 27. The meeting was adjourned with the next meeting set for 6 p.m. Monday, July 20th. Watsika Police reports on June 12th at 2:59 p.m. Watsika Police were dispatched to the 500 block of East Mulberry Street for a trespasser. According to reports, Bobby J. Perez Gutierrez, 39, of Watsika, was arrested for criminal trespass to a residence. Perez Gutierrez was transported to the Iroquois County Jail without incident. On June 13th, at 12:47 a.m., Watsika police were dispatched to the 100 block of West Oak Street for a disturbance. According to reports, Christian Rodriguez, 43, of Watsika, was told by police to leave the place of business. Rodriguez refused to leave and was arrested for criminal trespass to property. Rodriguez was transported to the Iroquois County Jail without incident. On June 17th at 3:49 p.m., Watsika police were dispatched to the 400 block of West Walnut Street for retail theft. According to reports, Caitlin M. Long, 33, of Watsika, was arrested for retail theft. Long was transported to the Iroquois County Jail without incident. On June 17th at 4:19 p.m., Watsika police were dispatched to the 100 block of Fiddler Court for a domestic battery. According to reports, Jeffrey Bertram, 60, of Watsika, was arrested for domestic battery. Bertram was transported to the Iroquois County Jail without incident. On June 21st at 2:58 a.m., Watsika police were dispatched to the 500 block of East Oak Street for a trespasser. According to reports, Tara R. Reed, 47, of Watsika, was arrested for criminal trespass to residence. Reed was transported to the Iroquois County Jail without incident. Annual prayer breakfasts, July 4th at St. John Lutheran. The Women's Missionary Federation of St. John Lutheran Church at Schwer will host its annual July 4th breakfast. The prayer breakfast will begin at 7 a.m. with the program following at 8. The church is located at 1812 East, 1130 North Road, Milford. The breakfast is free, but donations will be accepted and donated to local food pantries. This year's featured speaker will be Roger Phaland, a social studies teacher for Watsika Junior High School. Dean Geiken of the Culpeper Minute Battalion, a Civil War reenactment group, will give a short presentation appropriate for our nation's 250th birthday. The menu will include egg casserole, fruits, pastries, coffee, and juice. St. John's congregation invites everyone to come and enjoy the breakfast and program. This is Lincoln, and I've been reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, June 25th, 2026, and have a fabulous day.